Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me, be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, Father, and to give us the truth of your word and the strength of it as we study, Father. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this study session, Father, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in Acts 27. Last evening, we had went through the first 13 verses of 27. You know, Paul is on his way to Rome in his own ship, and he's been by several islands and all. Things are going to get a little worse even. Yeah. So we're going to start here with verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called El Sharanda. 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we much work to come by the boat. 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, and struck sail, and so were driven. Now they're afraid to stay where they was as far as sitting still, quicksanding all around where they were. So they set sail with the storm going on. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And now they're getting rid of their cargo. And when neither sun nor star in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now they were all fearing. The Savior's going to be lost, destroyed. But you see, God's still working with Paul. Because like he told Paul, he's got to be in Rome. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this storm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." There's no life going to be lost, but the ship's going to be. 23. He's telling them here, he says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." That's why Paul could stand and tell them that there'd be no life lost, because the Lord God is letting know. Now, through this angel. 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." Now, they're thinking they're coming close to land somewhere. 28. "And sounded," in other words, they was measuring the depth of the waters, "and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day." Now, here they are out here in the storm, and they're trying to anchor. 30. "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship," they were putting out a boat, what was known as a lifeboat, and they were planning on getting in it and leaving. But here's 31. "Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Now he's letting them know, you're going to do this, you're not going to be saved. 32. "Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." 33. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." 14 days they've been on a fast. 34. "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." Not even a hair going to fall from them. 35. "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. 36, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. 37, and we were in all in the ship, 200, 16 souls. 276 is how many was in that ship. 38, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Now the cargo they carrying, they're getting rid of. They're throwing it into the ocean to lighten the ship. 39, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. They found this creek. They thought maybe they could get the ship into that. Now, 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. This is what is taking their ship. And you know, Paul had told them they was going to lose the ship. Well, we're reading it right here. 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. But they're not far from land. 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Just as exactly as Paul told them. They lost the ship and all the cargo, but they did not lose a life. Now, we have come to the end of 27, and we're going into the last chapter now of Acts. We should finish it this morning. Now, we find that they've all escaped to land. In 28 and verse 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. 22. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now the people that lived on the island is taking them in and taking care of, or helping to. 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. He's got a poison snake now on him, and it's fastened on his hand. Now 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. They waited for him to drop dead. Now, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. See, God's really taking care of it. Because he told him he's got to go to Rome. 6. Howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, Paul is healing, doing some healing here on the soul. That has taken them all in, and has, as the word tells us, treat them very courteously. 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Now, Paul is, well, it ain't Paul. The Holy Spirit through Paul is doing the healing. Now, 10. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. They've given things they needed as they were leaving. 11. And after 3 months, they were there on that island 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandra, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence, we fished a compass and came to Regrum. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Petulia, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Now, they're on their way to Rome. Still all of them, they're all together. All the prisoners and everything, they're all still right there. 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apala Forum and the 3 taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captains of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now, they've got him under guard, but he's only under guard this time with 1 soldier. Now, Seventeen. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, our customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. 18. Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. 19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. You see, he's speaking for himself here again, and he's using basically about the same words that he'd used before, a little shorter. 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. 21. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. They're talking about those that are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know a whole lot about it, but they do know that the Jews are speaking against those people everywhere. Now, 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He's spending all day. And here we are today, living in a lot better time, even though we're in a bad time right now, but it's still a lot better time. And we don't want to give him a couple hours a day. And here Paul is teaching all day long. They're sitting listening to him hours. Now, 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. You see, Isaiah even prophesied that about the Lord Jesus and about mankind hearing and would not understand. And seeing, you shall see and not receive, or perceive, rather. 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They're letting them know that's not what they're doing, for the most part. Now, there are some of them that, yes, did believe. Now, 28. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. 29. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house and received all that came in unto him. 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, Paul for 2 years has preached where? From his own house. Not from church, but from his own house. But he would teach to all that would come in to listen. And that's what we are doing right now. We have come now to the end of the book of Acts. And we will be going in, God willing, to the book of Romans. You know, Paul wrote the book of Romans. And he had 3 objectives in writing this epistle. One was to teach them the fundamental doctrine of salvation in order to fortify them against the Judaizers, those that followed Paul everywhere, that was against him. And 2, to explain the unbelief of Israel and vindicate the faithfulness of God in his dealing with Israel. And 3, to give practical instructions concerning Christian living in the society of his day. And this is what we need to be doing. We need more concentration on prayer, spending more time with the Lord God, and more time in his word, so that we could have that concentration in all the Word of God and doing the things that God would move us to do, because we are living, and I firmly believe it, in the last days of time, before the Lord will be coming back for his church. Now, we know that the author of this epistle is Paul. In addition, the author makes some personal references that are only applicable to Paul. So we know that Paul wrote this. He lets us know that, as he always does with his epistles, because he starts them by giving us his name, who he is, what he is, and all about it. And you know, when we get into the book of Romans, we're going to be getting into some strong stuff here too. And a lot of things that you and I really need. Because as I said, we are not spending enough time with Heavenly Father in prayer. And most of us don't even know the right way to pray. They pray all kinds of ways. They pray to the saints out there. They pray to the Mother Mary and all that. No. We pray to the Heavenly Father, and we pray in Jesus' name. Because, you see, we have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. But we need to be praying to him. And we can pray to Jesus because he paid the price for us. But we need to be spending more time with our Father and in learning more of the Lord Jesus, his wanting of you and I. Now, we're going to I'm going to start off here in Romans chapter 1. We're going to go a little ways through this. We won't get all the way through chapter 1 because it's about 32 verses. Well, we might. We'll see. But we'll see what the Spirit has for us. Now, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, how many of our church leaders can actually sit down with a headline like this? Not many that I know of. There's a few, but not many. He's telling us who he is, what he is, and what he is and who of. His name is Paul, and he is a servant of whom? Jesus Christ. And he's called to be an apostle, separated from the world unto the gospel of God. He's to do nothing else. Now, 2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And we know all of that in our studies there in the four Gospels. 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. He's letting us really know where Jesus has come from now, how he came to be, where he comes from, what blood lineage he is of, and goes on to declare who he really is as being the Son of God, telling us about his power. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. You see, that's what service should be about, is spreading the gospel, which is sharing this word of Almighty God. But we have so much teaching today that is really contrary to it. And we need to really be in the Word. And we need to be sincere in our giving of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting nothing more than to serve Him. You see, that's going to be the only way we'll ever become that child of the living God. 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? He's letting us know that when we are doing the right things, that we also are called of Jesus Christ. Now, 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not having peace today because we are not spending enough time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're closing our eyes and our ears to His word, His will and His way. Yet we want good things from Him, but we don't want to spend the time with Him to receive it. 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of the whole world. Now, Paul's letting them know that he knows about their faith and it being strong. 10. Or 9, rather. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And we should be keeping each other in our prayers. And all of you know that I do you. You hear me do it even during these study sessions. But you are always in my heart, in my mind, and in my prayers. Now, 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know, that is something right there that I wish we could say about our nation, but mostly about our churches. Now, we're going to come on down here to verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. He's letting them know he wants them to have a spiritual gift. Well, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brother, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. See, Paul speaks very plainly and very boldly, which is what we are told to do, but most won't do it. They're afraid that they'll offend someone. We don't do it to be offensive. We do it because we love them and we want them to hear and to have and to understand the word of Almighty God so that they too can make heaven their home. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can you really hear the power of that verse? And are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ that you don't want others to hear? You speak about it? 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That faith is to be in Jesus, and we are to live by it. And we do that by the help of the Lord and by the help of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why that those that have the infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that's why they have it. Now, 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We got a lot of that going on. That's exactly what is going on in the churches that is preaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. They're holding the truth of God's Word, but they're holding it in unrighteousness. 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. Now, once you become that child of God and you are spending the time you need to spend with the Lord God, He is always there with you. He's always talking to you. He's giving you the guidance. He's giving you the power and everything you need in order to be the child that He wants you to be. Now, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without. What is He taken away from us? Excuse. There is no excuse for us, because He's given us everything that we need in order to make it. We just don't accept it. We don't take it. And we don't want to spend the time. 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, that's what happens when you walk in darkness, filled with evil. Your heart becomes darkened and hardened. 22. Uh-oh. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen to this. They became wise. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because they are taking the word of Almighty God, the truth of it, and holding it in unrighteousness, and teaching things that are contrary to his word. Now, 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, they changed that glory of the incorruptible God into an image, which brings about corruption. They've made it corruptible. Think about it. Now, 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Uh-oh. The man's pretty good about doing that, ain't he? He's done just about everything he could do to dishonor himself and his body. 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, they changed it. And that's what I've been telling you for a long time. They took the Word of God, and by going from one place to another, to another, to another, and then adding them together, and twisting and turning and adding to and taking away, they changed the Word of God to be something that it's not. 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Uh-oh. Ladies, listen. You see, you're not the only one. You men, he didn't leave you out. 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now you think homosexuality, there's nothing wrong with it? What they're telling you about it here? 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not covenant. Convenient. 29. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Even if you're not doing all these things, but you've got pleasure and you get fun out of those that are doing it. You see, you become as they. Be very, very careful. And if you want to be a child of God, walk according to His Word. He has gave us all things. And we are to be His if you want to make heaven your home. Now, if you don't and you don't care and you want to go to hell and you want to end up in that lake of fire that will burn forever and no way out of it, it's your choice. But unless you walk with the Word of Almighty God and do what it tells you to do, that's exactly what will happen to you. Me, I want to go to be with the Lord Jesus. I want to see my family and my friends go to be with the Lord Jesus. I'd like to see all of mankind go to be with the Lord Jesus. But I know they're not all going to do it. I know there's more going to be lost than saved. That's according to the Word of Almighty God. But I pray that there's none listening to my voice right now that don't make heaven their home. And we have come to the first end of the first chapter of Romans. I told you Romans is packed. It is packed. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for those that has heard my voice this morning with this word. I pray for each and every one of them, Father, that they are born again children of yours, that they are not out here serving the world, Father, that they are holding you first in their lives, doing what you ask of them to do, and spending time, Father, with you in prayer and in the study of your word, and spending time together in your word as we come together, Father, because this is where we grow. But now, Father, to be the children you want us all to be, I pray that none falter, that none miss out this hearing, this message this morning. And Father, I pray for help for each and every one of us. We don't have to be sick to leave this world. Help us all to walk in health, to walk in joy and peace, even though we face trials and tribulations. We can still walk with peace and comfort, Father, because we know we're not going through it alone. That the Lord is there with us. The Holy Spirit is there with us. Father, you're with us. And that you never leave us nor forsake us. Now, Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, I'm praying for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, for this land of ours, I pray that we can remove those in our leadership of our government that is evil, that's brought all this evil upon our people and upon the world. And Father, that they can be replaced and those of yours take their place. Those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, that loves your word, loves the church, and loves this land. And work with us to help us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which they have took it off of, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we close out, prepare to separate, be with us throughout this day, Father, keeping us all safe, keeping us in health, each and every one of us. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, pray for them. And Father, myself, my wife, and all of our families. James Taylor, Father. Now, Father, bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. And I'm asking all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Walk with God through this day, and he'll walk with you. Have a great one. Bye-bye now.